Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. If you find 2 Timothy, it's right in front of that. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we talked about this last week, and we were talking about sound doctrine and what we need for that. And we're just going to keep going with that a little bit. We'll spend most of our time in 1 Timothy. If you started at the beginning flipping pages and hit Deuteronomy, stick your finger in Deuteronomy 4 also. We'll hit that in just a minute also. But right now, 1 Timothy chapter 4. And Eric talked last week about one. He talked about oneness of purpose and unity. All God's people need to come together in unity, in oneness of purpose. And that's glorify God in the things we do. When we tell other people about Him, when we share Jesus Christ with other people, that's a oneness of purpose. A oneness of purpose. As Eric said last week, it's not about we're all the same. No, God's Word tells us we're all different. And we all have a different purpose, and we're all doing different things in the body of Christ. My little pinky can't do the same thing my little pinky toe can do. We just need different things in there. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 12, it says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." That's six different things he lines up there. Not just pick one and go with it. Because we can be an example in word, but not in our love. We can be an example in word, but not in our conduct. The way we treat fellow believers and non-believers. Verse 13 says, "Till I come, give attention to reading, exhortation, and doctrine." Reading, exhortation, and doctrine. So we've got six things that we have to be an example in. And to do that, we have to do three other things. We have to read, exhort, and know the doctrine. Give attention to doctrine. Verse 14. Says, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership." When God gives you a gift, and when people are anointing that gift and praying over that gift, and God gives you that gift, share that with other people. Share that with other people. We're talking about teaching a future generation in King's Kids, in Falls Creek, in the nursery. Lord knows that takes people with a special gift to deal with all those different ages. From infants to the young kids to the little older kids to teenagers. Young adults. Not so young adults. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. God has given each one of us a gift. And if we neglect that, we're disobeying God. Well, I don't know if I'm that good. Well, who will know? You don't have to flip there, but I'm going to read real quick in Acts chapter 2. Verse 40 says, "And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them." Can you imagine? Merely by preaching the word, hearing the word, receiving that word, 3,000 souls were added to them. And as we've been talking about over the last couple weeks, when they believed, they were what? They were baptized. Let me stop here for just a minute. We talk about baptizing you back here, and many people may feel uncomfortable being baptized in front of people. I can't get in and out of a bathtub at home, let alone one in front of a whole congregation, you may think. So I've been asked to tell you there are many different ways to get baptized, and we can look at those options. If that's your fear and you haven't been baptized because you think, I'm not doing that in front of everyone, come to us. We'd like you to do it and proclaim that in front of everyone, but we can do that in a private setting. We can do that in another place. We've done it in the river before. We can about do it anywhere. So please, if that is your fear on baptism, would you come talk to myself, Eric, or Pastor Helen so that we can clarify that with you. But it says, when you believe, be baptized. It says in verse 42 of Acts 2, and again, you don't have to turn there, but I just want to read this real quick. And they continued steadfastly, and you should know this, in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. Well, this just parallels what we read in Timothy. We have to read, exhort, know the doctrine, study doctrine. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then the church grew. I don't think if we do these things, we're going to grow much. And I'm talking about personally as well as a group setting. We have to study. We have to be intentional people. And we are God's people. We have to be intentional about God. Amen? That means we have to open this thing up more than once or twice a week. Or zero times a week. We have to get in this Word. We have to read it. We have to understand it, and we have to know it, and we have to know how to defend it, and we have to know when people are taking it down a different path. Right now in Wednesday night Bible study, we're going through the book of Nehemiah, word for word. It's important to know it and understand it and see how that parallels our life now. In the doctrine that brought uniformity of belief by oneness of purpose. In the fellowship in Greek, in this setting, it's translated to mean the sharing in the lives of other believers. Taking interest in the fellow believers, sharing their lives. Breaking of bread, this could mean the Lord's Supper. Or this could mean the taco salad dinner. The scholars are out on exactly what they meant there. But either one, the breaking of bread and then prayer. We're going to have an opportunity at the end of service today to pray over one another. And we're going to pray not just if you have a need, but if you have something that's happened that's great, can we pray and give God thanks in that also? You've got victories over something? Let's pray about that as well. Pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Let's turn there for a minute. Keep your finger in 2 Timothy because we'll be back. Deuteronomy chapter 4, very beginning of the Bible. Well, not the beginning, but close to the beginning. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 9 and 10. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, it says, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Listen to this next phrase. And teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. We have a responsibility to teach others. And this just ties in with when they continue doing this. We have a responsibility to get with one another and teach one another. Let's turn to 2 Timothy right now. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And the reward we get for that, is it here on earth? Maybe, but maybe not. But the reward is in heaven. We don't want to store up all those things here on earth that we can't take with us. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. I better get in the right spot. Again, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. I'm going to read that again. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of one sound mind. A sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. He goes on to say, for this reason I also have suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day. Be loyal to the faith. He's given us these things. He's given us this promise. And we have to be loyal to the faith. And we do that again through fellowship, through doctrine, exhortation, reading, prayer, knowing and understanding these things in love and in patience. He says, hold fast the pattern of sound words. Hold fast the pattern of sound words. Young people, you're going to hear words all day long. At school, from your friends. At church. At youth group. You're going to hear words all day long. All day. And in your young minds, you have got to know what to filter out and how to filter that out. And you know, you have to know when to walk away. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. We've got the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we need to be in communion all the time. And all those things. Flip over to chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. This one is tough for some of us. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace. Let's just stop there. Grace. Be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Here again, we have the instruction to teach others. Being strong in grace, though. It's not about standing on our own ability to show people grace, but standing on Jesus Christ, His example of grace. We talked about that Wednesday night with Nehemiah. Oh, those poor people. Here you go. Here's a promised land. Great. We're going to be faithful. And okay, God's way back there. We forgot about Him. We started doing our own thing. Uh-oh. The walls were torn down. All right. We're rebuilding. We're halfway there. The walls are down. Oh, no. It's that pattern that parallels a lot of us. We've been given things. We're so thankful for it. And then we forget all about it. And then we go doing our own thing. And then we think, oh, no, I have to repent. And we talked Wednesday night about a huge difference between saying, I am sorry, being sorrowful people, and being repentful, people that repent. Being a repentant people. Huge difference. God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. God, I am so sorry. I repent of my actions. Those are two different things. And if you're not repenting, you're still keeping that wedge between you and Jesus Christ. Now it says nothing can separate us from His love. Nothing can separate us from His love. But man, that unforgiveness, that unrepentant spirit, that can certainly put distance there and put a little wedge in there. I told a story a couple weeks ago about my aunt, and I talked about Joel Osteen. Some people say, oh, he's just too simple. But that simple faith enabled her to get over things that she'd carried for years and years. And I said, I was back here trying to go, just trying to reconcile. She's like, ah. And in further communication in the last week, she just said, I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to hear that message, Adam. I wasn't ready to forgive them. I wasn't ready to ask them for forgiveness. And I felt better. I thought, okay, so that's sometimes why people don't come up here. I'm just not ready. I'm not ready to be baptized. I'm not ready to go up there. You can repent in your own seat. That's absolutely fine. But if you're sitting in your seat and not doing anything, that's not okay. But it did make me feel better, and it reminded me of my own self when she said, I just wasn't ready. See, I sat out there. I wasn't ready. And then at one point, God said, Adam, it's time. I'm hearing Boomer Sooner. Am I going crazy? Is that over here? Or I can't tell where it's coming from. I thought it was back here. Hello? Who have I picked up here? We press on. But I want to tell you this. When you say, I'm not ready yet, when that day comes, you better pray you're ready. And that day will come for every one of us. And we have to be ready. And I'm sorry, God, could I have a little more time? I thought there would be more time. I mean, I thought I was at John's brother's funeral a Saturday ago. It was a wonderful service. And that preacher said, you better be ready. You see, we all have an appointed time. When that alarm clock goes off in the morning, it doesn't matter if we're ready or not. It's going off. Miss Jan in Bible study several months ago or a couple months ago when you were leading said, I hope we don't hit our spiritual snooze. And I'm telling you, each and every one of us, we have an appointment coming. And man, we hope and pray it's not while we're young. It's not to our young people. But you see, God is a perfect God. He makes no mistakes. And He may call one of you home in His perfect wisdom. And I don't want us to say I wasn't ready. I just wanted to hang on to that guilt for another week. You know, Adam, I carry around a little bit of shame. And I'm not ready to reveal that to anybody. I didn't say you got to tell me. You need to tell Him. And if you've got unforgiveness, you need to tell Him. And you need to talk to Him about that. I'm not talking about making it right with me. I'm talking about making it right with Him. See, I'm not calling you home. He's going to call you home. Second Timothy chapter 2. You've got to be strong in grace that is in Jesus Christ. We've got to be strong as believers in Christ and grace. I really thought the last 2 weeks after Sunday service, not last week but the week before, what would happen if someone came in this church and said, "Hey, I'm gay." And I understand that I'm walking out on a plank right here now. I understand that, guys. "Hey, Adam, I'm gay." You tell me what happens. Do we accept them? Do we love them with the love of Jesus Christ? Or do we talk about tolerance? I don't know. Is that tolerance, accepting that? Anybody in here grumpy, whiny, complaining? Not right now, necessarily. Could be. All right, Nestor, I appreciate that honesty. Yeah. I love that. I've got people pointing out other people next to them, all right. Last I checked, the Bible says that's a sin. Do we accept you? Do we love you with the love of Jesus Christ? Is that tolerance? Well, it's a tolerance that Jesus Christ had with us. You see, each and every one of us is a sinner. And we can twist this thing around so much, but man, the bottom line is, this is about love. It is about grace. It is about mercy. It's about loving people where they are. And remembering for some of us where we were. And sometimes where we still are. At my work, no co-workers, okay. Oh. Co-worker's parent. Oh, at my work, someone sent out an email, and it was one of those zingers. And it hurt the person it was sent to. And it was meant to, and they tried to say, "Oh no, I really meant, really?" Because that was as sarcastic as I've ever seen something sent out. And you blatantly tried to point out all these wrongs or whatever. We do the same thing. We do the same thing to each other. I sometimes call them the extra words. You know, when somebody says, "Hey, you need to go do this," and someone says, "Yeah." Well, you don't need the extra word. I can do this, but blah, blah, blah. It's that extra sentence we tack on. And it's kind of the same thing with our tolerance level for other people that may not be like us. Love covers a multitude of sins. And you can call it what you want, but Jesus Christ said to love other people. He may have called the sin an abomination, but He never said, turn your back on that person. Now, we don't have to stand there and get in debates about that. It also says, hey, when it gets into this stuff, just walk away. It's not worth the argument. You can do things and have statements and conversation in love. I want our church to love each other. I want us to love each other. I want us to love our families. I want us to love our parents. I want us to love our children, our brothers and our sisters. And these things right here, I want us to love our steps. Our stepmom, our stepdad, our stepson, our stepdaughter, our step-grandnephew. I don't know what all there is out there. I want us to love our steps. And I want us to love those that take care of us. And I want us to love our teachers that invest their time in our education. And I want us to invest in other people. I want us to love our coaches. I want us to love the lowly and the lonely. I won't wake her, but Miss Dorothy and I had a fantastic time a couple Saturdays ago visiting Paul Houck. Some of you may remember he's our 90-year-old that sat in the back corner here by Linda and Ed Weinberger. He's 90 years old, and in less than a month, he'll be 91. She heard me talking about Paul, and she came too. We had a wonderful visit going to see him down in Norman in the Veterans Center. And I can't tell you. I said, Miss Dorothy, that sure was a blessing to Paul. And she said, that was a blessing to me. And I thought, nobody's more blessed than me sitting back and watching this beautiful scene. I don't think she was bragging or boasting, but she did say, I'm only 89, Paul. You're going to be 91. You're 2 years older than me. And then she said, would you like me to sing you a song, Paul? And he said, oh, yes, I'd love that very much. And as I watched her sing to Paul, and I watched him sing back and sing with her, that was love like no other. That's the love I want. That is the love I want. Sharing in the lives of other believers. It was the same day I watched your family love on you guys as we remembered your brother. And I watched the love poured out over him. And after a long day of zigzagging, I'm not complaining, I'm not bragging, I'm just saying this was what the day was. After Dave zigzagging back and forth across town, north, south, north, south, north, south, north, south, and I dropped off Miss Dorothy, then I still had another visit to go do out past Memorial Road in MacArthur for a co-worker that's in the hospital. But I thought, that's sharing in the lives of other believers. And it's what I want us to do for and to each other. checked on you when your husband was out of town, texted you on the young kids' birthdays. Miss Donna, what a blessing you've been to the young people of this church over the years. Stop by and see us next week. Thank you for stopping by to see us. How are you guys doing? Hey, do you think you two guys could come some Sunday and bring your dad? Bring your family. It's good to see you guys today. Bryce, I'm not even going to say about what I heard about you yesterday. Lordy, supporting his school. Can I tell him what I saw? Yeah, Bryce with no shirt on with a big C painted on his belly at a school event. That'd be a Falls Creek moment. Getting sunburned to watch them in a band contest. Every one of you do things throughout the day. And you check on people and you take care of your children. Young people and leaders. Praying for your mom, Zach. Down at Falls Creek. God has so many great victories He's done in this church. You see, John, your brother's healed. He's healed. He's made complete now. When that appointment comes for you, you'll be reunited with your brother. You see, we prayed at Falls Creek for Zach's mother, Miss Becky, cancer-free. Sit in the back. Amen. That's a victory for God. See, Becky and Brian are our neighbors. But they're Zach's mom. Your mom's too, sorry. I'm just pointing out Zach because I saw him first. But our young people wanted to share in the lives of other believers. And as we were down there at Falls Creek, we let Zach stand in for his mom so we could pray over them. This is what the church does. And this is what the church does when it grows. And this is how a church grows. We love one another. We don't judge. We can't judge. We can't judge. But the Bible says that is an abomination. Yes, it does. And yes, it is. But it mentions grumbling and whining and complaining also. And lying. Well, I never lie. Oops. Do we exaggerate? Oops. Whoppers? Oops. Little ones? Oops. You know, just goes on and on. As we all sin, is what I'm saying. We are sinners. And when we go before God and we repent, that doesn't mean we're free from sin. We may be freed right then, but because of our human nature, we're going to walk back into something. We're going to pray for God to give us strength not to walk back into what we were in. But by our nature, we'll walk into something else. It may be to a lesser degree to us. Turn over to chapter 3 real quick. As we're turning to 2 Timothy chapter 3, prepare in your mind and in your heart right now. We're going to have an opportunity at the end of service today to pray, to anoint, to bless, to thank, to rejoice. And I want you guys to think what you have to pray about, to be anointed over. It could be an illness. It could be financial issues. It could be relationship issues. It could be drugs. It could be whatever. Maybe you've got a victory. And let's come and let's be blessed over that too. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine. There's that word again. We're studying it. We're following it. We're remembering it. We're learning it. We're knowing it. You have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. Young people, please listen carefully. What persecutions I endured. You guys will be tricked. You'll watch videos. You'll see friends at school. You'll hear people. You will be tricked into thinking, nobody can talk to me that way. And I'm going to let them know. I can already see people looking at each other going, uh-oh. What persecutions I have endured. You guys haven't endured anything yet because someone said a snotty word to you. You have not yet begun to endure persecutions for your faith. Now, you may have. I'm talking about when someone just disrespects you with a word. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. If you have that desire to be godly people, you will endure persecution. You have to develop a mind and a heart and a soul that tells you how to handle that according to God's principles. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse. Uh-oh. Deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and be assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You've got to know what you learned. You've got to know who you learned it from. And you have to remember those things. The things that you learned from a child. I mean, from when you were a child. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We have so much work to be done. We have a mission. If you weren't here 2 weeks ago, our mission is for the Oklahoma Regional Food Bank. For every dollar you give, that feeds 5 people a meal. You can bring your canned goods. We have boxes here and boxes in the hallway. But your dollar goes a lot further. Our goal is to provide 10,000 meals. I'll let you do the math on that. meals by the end of 2014. We also have a goal internationally through Samaritan's Purse for safe drinking water. We have so much work to be done. So much work to be done. We'll close with this in chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Listen carefully to that. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for His heavenly kingdom. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. I don't care if your head's up, down, staring at the ground, eyes open, closed. This is an opportunity to be involved in the lives of others. If our prayer partners and prayer warriors would come forward. And I just want to ask you guys to pray. If you want special prayer, if you need strength through something you're going through, if you have a victory, I feel there's some people out there that we may need to anoint today for healing. It may be a physical healing. It may be a spiritual healing. You may have some battle scars. You may be going through things right now. Some of you may be going through some health issues. We'd like to pray over you. We talked earlier about repentance. Maybe you're not ready. In your moment of not being ready, would you still just find boldness to come up and allow us to pray with you? It may not be the moment to repent. It may be the moment to just say, I need strength to get to that point. We're just going to take this opportunity right now. So let's just bow our heads if you want. If you just want to stare around, you can do that. This is between you and God right now. Heavenly Father, we just ask you to be in the presence of this great assembly, Lord. Holy Spirit, we ask you to fill this room from wall to wall, from floor to ceiling. Father, for those that may not be ready, we know that we all have an appointed time. And we never know that time. But you know it. God, right now I ask that you work in the hearts and minds of the believers sitting here today. Lord, we have such an important role to teach other people, but we can't do that from a standpoint of having unforgiveness. And repentance in our heart. Lord, for those that need healing right now, physical healing. If you're going through a physical battle and you'd like us to pray over you, would you come forward at this time? Just come forward. If you have a physical issue right now that you want us to pray over. And Father God, if there's a spiritual need, something you're going through right now just for strength, for forgiveness or something, would you come forward at this time as well? Allow us to pray over you for spiritual strength, for spiritual wisdom. Maybe you're going through a financial issue right now. Maybe you're going through a relational issue right now. And it could be a boyfriend, girlfriend. It could be a husband and wife. It could be a parent, child. Would you come forward at this time and allow us to pray for that healing? Restoration may be possible where it is not possible, Lord. We just ask you to bring healing and comfort and peace. If you have a victory over the enemy, a victory over defeat, a victory over illness, and you want to just rejoice and give thanks to God, would you come forward and allow us to pray with you and give God that glory today? Surely we have a victory we can celebrate today. Church, this is a time for us to pray over you, to pray with you. Maybe you have an unspoken prayer request. Just allow us to do that. Allow your brothers and sisters in Christ to pray over you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the prayers. Lord, for those that are in their seats and just still want prayer, Lord, you know who they are. Father God, we lift them up. Whatever their need is right now in their seat, whatever can't release them from their seat, Lord, would you just bless them? Lord, would you show your presence to them? Would you comfort them? Would you wrap your arms around them and show yourself strong? God, where we have others that are not like us, would you keep us from being judgmental towards them? Would you help us to be open and loving people with the love of Christ, that we could show them, that we could represent you well. Father, right now we ask you to be with our leaders, to be with our teachers, to be with all those involved in ministry here at Prayer Faith, Lord, that you would prepare them for our meeting next week, Lord, that you would be in the midst of that meeting, that you would bring workers and laborers to the harvest. Heavenly Father, as we prepare for our young people next week at Falls Creek, that you would open up those doors for a bigger facility to take more kids, to reach a new generation, a young generation for Christ. Lord, that we can plant the seed, that we can continue to reap a harvest in those young people, Lord. Lord, that you would be preparing minds right now for next year. Those that may not even be in attendance right now, that we may not even know of right now, Lord. You're just preparing that opportunity for us to invite them, for the crossing of that path, Lord, to bring us together. Lord, we ask you to be with those here at the altar today. Lord, that you would continue being present in those circles, Lord. Lord, as we go out this week, allow us to be light and salt to those we come in contact with. Guide our words that we speak to one another. Guide our actions so that they glorify and honor you. That we can be the aroma of Christ. We can be ambassadors of Christ Jesus. Father God, that we can represent you well and reflect the love of Jesus Christ well in all we do. I ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.